Check one, check two. What you gonna do?
Sibilance. Sibilance.
Severance. Severance. I started watching Severance.
I finished it last night.
You did?
I had two episodes to go. Good. The Blues played their first playoff game, and during the intermissions between periods, I finished episode 8, and then afterward, episode 9. And
wow.
I loved it.
Yeah. I've watched 3 or 4.
Do you like it? Because some people are like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. I love this kind of other world.
I knew going into it what I was getting into, you know what I mean? I knew it was going to be sort of slow moving, you know, and I was cool with it. I liked it. I understand what other people are saying, though. You know, it is slow, but it's really well done, well shot, and Adam Scott is fantastic in it, and it's good.
Yeah.
I really like it. I mean, I'm curious.
Yeah, my curiosity drove me throughout the entire season, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking today about fad diets,
mm-hmm.
or not even fad diets, just the idea of different things that we've all tried over the course of time to try mm-hmm. and shed the low belly fat that exists in everybody's life, except for assholes mm-hmm. on Instagram who I want to jump through my phone and kill.
You mean like the people who are all shredded up?
Yeah, I don't understand how they live life. I feel like that's their entire life is looking like that. Meanwhile, they're not enjoying any moment except when they put something up on Instagram that shows that they have a completely ripped stomach. Mm-hmm.
I think it is their life. I think that's what they enjoy, you know. They're probably non-indulgent people, or they only indulge in their bodies. They don't indulge in sort of the fine things in life, which is food and alcohol.
Like cheeses.
Right.
Breads.
But the thing is, like, when you get...
Soups. Thick
when
soups.
When you... Thick soups.
What are some of the things that you go to, like a thick...
Like a cream of mushroom?
Yeah, like a thick... Cream-based,
like a chowder.
I'm gonna chew this soup. Right. Yeah, where the spoon stands up in it and won't lean.
Yeah, I like some thick soups.
Let alone hit the side.
The thing is, those kind of people do eat that way sometimes because they put so much work into their bodies that if they do have some bread or a sandwich or whatever, it's not going to do a goddamn thing, you know? The problem is when we eat it over and over and over and over again, and that's our diet, then that's what we look like. But they are eating great, blah, blah, blah. So they can have ice cream. They can have like a sandwich. They can have whatever.
What about a big bowl of grape nuts?
I used to love grape nuts.
So did I.
Maybe I'll also get some grape nuts. Put some sugar on them.
They became chewy.
What the hell is a grape nut anyway?
You put even fake sugar on there, and then you get the milk, the cold milk, and then it's chewing in the back of your mouth off to the side there.
Yeah.
It's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It's like you feel like a horse.
Right, it's a love-hate thing, but for some reason I really loved it. What is a grape nut? Do we know? Is it?
I don't know. Margo, look that up,
please. Well, I don't know what a grape nut is. It's a nut from a grape? That's not possible.
What is it? You mean, what does it purport to be?
Yeah, it's called grape
nuts. Yeah, it's a fake, contain neither grapes nor nuts, but is made of wheat and barley. It was created in 1897 by Charlie Willie Post, C.W. Post, who used a coffee grinder to turn a flat sheet of the baked cereal into tiny kernels that resembled grape seeds or nuts.
Mm. Oh, someone come in here? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It says Margo Carmichael is the host now. This is like Captain Phillips. I am the host now.
I am the host now. That's funny. 1897.
Well, her Zoom quit right after it was the ghost of CW Post.
Oh.
What the hell's happening, Margo? The ghost of CW Post that knocked
that
her
was.
Off Zoom.
And I guess CW Post is Mr. Post himself, like Post cereals.
and must have been married to Emily Post,
yeah,
who is the manners guru.
Is she?
Right? Yeah. Emily Post.
I don't know.
You didn't get that reference to you as a kid?
No, man.
Well, you better go see Emily Post to know which way the soup spoon goes and on which side of your plate the fork sits,
yeah,
and how you should sip your aforementioned thick soup.
You can't sip your thick soup. You gotta sort of bite it. You gotta put the whole spoon in your mouth.
But for soup, you're supposed to go away from you with the spoon,
right,
and then dip it back toward you.
Right, but like this with the side spoon, not front ways, like a shovel.
Correct.
Right? Side it and right?
Right. It's like riding side saddle.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even know those classes existed. That's not the world that I grew up in. You did. You're like a debutante.
I'll have you know, sir, I have never debuted anything except my latest album. After my appearance on Masked Singer.
That's right. You did cut an album.
I talked to Eddie Vedder yesterday, and I told him... Oh, wait. Let me pick that name up. I told him about my my turn on Masked Singer.
Oh, you did?
Which means I'm a masochist, because then it was like, send me video. And I'm like, I'm going to send you the video, but just realize I couldn't hear very well because the mask was cutting out my left ear. It's like, oh, I've never seen that show. I want to see that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Send me that. That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you did. Yeah, but there's no expectations. You know what I mean? It's not like you're trying to impress Eddie Vedder with your singing. It's not what you do.
Right.
But
is
there a part of you that wants him to think you're a good singer?
Mm-hmm. It's a large part of me that wants him to think that I'm a good
You want
singer,
him to call you back and be like, oh, Joe, hey, Buck, you want to go on the road with me?
We got to cut an album.
Yeah. I'll call it Out of the Wild.
Somebody asked me today at an appearance who was the most impressive person I've met that kind of made me starstruck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, excuse me, my answer after you give me your answer. When is the last time you were starstruck by somebody that you met? Don't say I have never been starstruck.
No. It definitely isn't actors. It's athlete. And it had to have been Tiger Woods, you know, when I first got to meet Tiger Woods. You know, I saw him in person and I was like, oh my God, it's fucking Tiger Woods. Like And then I went up to him and I talked to him about fishing and, you know, I was starstruck. That's the only time I can recall.
Did you find yourself rambling and saying stupid stuff?
I was aware that that could have happened. So I really tried to force myself to be normal and nonchalant. I talked about fishing. I knew he loved to fish. So I was like, hey, man, fishing. You know, I fish. And I showed him a picture of my big tuna I caught. And he's like, oh, shit. And then it got easier from there. But, you know, in those situations, I like to, you know, quick strike and out. It's like, bah, bah, bah. Yeah, I don't give a shit about you. I'm going to go hit some golf balls. And when really all I want to do is be his friend, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's on my short list. I had three. That's why I brought it up. Because Vedder was the first one. And then the other was Michael Jordan, who was at a Carolina Panthers game. And I said to this... on this appearance thing that I did, never have Troy and I left the booth to go meet someone. Normally we make somebody come to the booth to say hi to us. But at halftime of this Carolina Panthers game, he and I walked out of the booth, walked through the concourse, little suits on, the whole thing, to the luxury suite where Michael Jordan was sitting and got a picture with him.
Wow. But this was your choice. You were like, I want to go meet Michael
Jordan.
Yeah,
we heard he was there. And it was like, I mean, we're going to be able to get in to say hi. I was basically drafting behind Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
And we got in, said hi. I invited him on my then DirecTV show, which was the long-form interview. I did Jeter and Gretzky and you name it. And he's like, no. Everybody knows too much about me already.
Right.
Meanwhile, The Last Dance was about to come out. So I'm like, well, that's kind of bullshit, Mike.
Yeah. Well, it's bold of you to even ask him. Like, I don't.
Why not?
I don't have the ball. Those balls.
Should I have talked to him about fishing?
No, because he doesn't fish.
Michael, look at the big tuna I caught.
Yeah, but the thing is,
I want to be your.
You're
friend.
With Troy. It's like you said, you're with Troy. Troy's won Super Bowls. You know what I mean? Like, that's an easy one. Troy's on his level. I mean, he's not Michael Jordan, but he's still, you know, one of the greats. So, yeah.
Right.
Easy for Troy
and
to
then
connect.
There was me asking him, booking him on, right. Trying to book and you're him trying, on my
yeah,
own
and Troy's
show.
Probably like, Jesus, Buck, just chill the fuck out.
Normally I do, but I was like, you know what? If I'm going to get him, this is when I'm going to get right. him. Although it's probably dumb because I really had no shot at him. And I might have, you know, just completely destroyed any chance I had of ever getting him through proper channels by
right.
jumping the gun. Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah, your relationship's ruined with Jordan.
How you doing? Are you all settled in your house now? Are you all?
No, not settled. I actually went right from Cabo to Palm Desert where we played in a Ryder Cup format tournament with Kurt and myself and Wyatt, Matt, Luke, Franco, Cormac, Greg, you know, our friends and family. And it was really, really fun. 3 days, very competitive, fun nights. You know, it was good. It was really good. And I just got back to LA from the desert and now I'm beat. I did like two tournaments in a row, basically.
And did you have more fun with your family or did you have more fun with me?
I think it was too hard to call. I mean, it was completely different. But I would have to say El Dorado. I mean, you know, of course.
So that's with me?
Yeah, with you. With you. Because I had to, you know, on the topic of daddy issues, you know, I... In the middle of the tournament on Saturday, my girl, Rio, had her first play that she's been rehearsing for 3 months. So I had to play golf at 9. We started at 9. We finished, and I had to get right in the car and drive back to L.A. and go see her play. And I saw her play and then drive back to Palm Desert for the last round on Sunday. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How was the play? How'd she do?
She did
great.
I mean,
that's a lot of pressure.
She did great.
You got grandma.
Yeah.
You got mom and dad. You got
yeah.
aunt. You got uncle.
Yeah, she's got a lot of people watching. But she was great. It was a kid's play. You know, it wasn't like highly produced in any way. But it was impressive. You know, she did Encanto and she played Penelope, and she had solo songs and she had a ton of lines and. You know, even for someone at 8 years old to memorize all that shit, I was like, damn, that's pretty good.
So she did, who helped her with memorizing the lines? Clearly Aaron?
Yeah. Aaron, Kenny, you know. But the truth is that she went every week for 3 months and they were rehearsing the play. So they were working on it there. And then in the last couple of weeks, we all sort of went over the lines with her. And she seemed confident going in. I got it. I know, but don't you want to do it one more time? Like, just make sure. She goes, I got it. You know, so. And she looked cute.
Wow.
It was fun. And she was just, at the end, she was almost stunned. You know, it was this sort of deer in headlights. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. I think she was overwhelmed. And I think that she was sort of upset that it was over. In a sense, and I gave her these big flowers, and she was carrying them around everyone. I'm like, do you want me to take these so you can hang out with your friends? She's like, no. She wouldn't let go of the flowers. Like, she loved the accolades of all of it. She loved the applause and the flowers afterwards and all the praise. And immediately we get in the car, and she says, Dad, I want to do another play. I'm like, of course. Whatever you want to do.
She's a Hudson.
She wants to do another
Nobody
play.
Nobody likes adoration like... A Hudson.
I don't. That's something I work on is taking a compliment. I don't do well with that. You know, I deflect and shy away when I should just sort of take it in and say, hey, thank you. You know, I'm always like, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I, you know, it's just, everyone had fun. It was great. You know? It's a total deflection all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good that you're able to identify that, and you're... I feel like you need to...
It makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
I don't know.
What makes me uncomfortable? Your fucking phone makes me uncomfortable.
Well, I can't... it's not sitting up properly.
Can't you, like... I mean, have the dog lay there. Lean it up against the dog. I don't really feel good about talking to you in this manner right now.
My hamstrings look pretty big. And all that jazz, we're gonna eat.
And you fucked up the phone again. Oh, my God.
But anyway.
I know what Margo's going to clip for the little video that we're going to send out on Instagram that gets 6 to 7 likes.
I know. We're crushing the likes. Crushing
the
likes.
Got a lot of likes.
But it was good. It was good. It was fun to see her connect to it like that, for sure. And then, of course, both my kids got sick. You know, of course, you think it's COVID, but it's just gnarly flu. We had them tested, influenza A, but they're down. Bodhi's just getting over it. Wilder's down. I mean, they're down for the count. This was a bad one.
Remember last year, the joke was, where's the flu? Where's
yeah,
the flu?
It's back.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
There's a COVID, you know, ever since this COVID thing, I mean, where's the flu? Come on, this is a big conspiracy. Where is it? It's here. Yeah. Everybody seems to have it. Michelle has it right now. Your kids have it. I'm sure I'm next in line.
Me too. I'm sure I'm next. I'm sure. You know. But I also felt bad because I was in Palm Desert, like, drinking and playing golf, and Aaron's here with the crazy sick kids.
God, what a life you've carved out for yourself.
What are you talking about? Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Don't you carry any guilt? You carry no guilt. This is a good topic. We've now stumbled upon what
we're
going to talk about.
What do you mean? I live with guilt. I'm like, I have so much guilt just in general.
But when you are in this golf event, after being in the golf event with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she was with us.
Staying an extra day.
She was with us.
And she was with us. Okay. And staying an extra day. Now you just get in your truck and drive to Palm Springs.
Yep.
And you're in another golf event, and your kids are back, and your kids are sick, and you're yucking it up, and being Oliver Hudson, the fun, loving center of all attention.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at me. Mm-hmm. Look at my swing. Mm-hmm. Look at my cool beard. Look at my hair. Mm-hmm. My hair's never been this long. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Look at everything that I'm bringing to the dance. Look at my outfits. Look at my weird Robbie Benson hair that I have now. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel any guilt not being there with your sick children?
Well, I mean, I do, but no. I mean, it is what it is. I can't not go. You know, I can't not play.
Why?
Because it was a
like hell you can't.
Of course I can't. It was a,
like hell you
it's
can't.
It's a planned thing. And if I leave the tournament, it all falls apart. Because what are you going to do? It's 4-on-4 teams, and it's, you know, better ball, and, you know, singles matches, and it's a whole thing. So, you know, I didn't feel guilty. But I not about my kids. My kids know that I love them. I'm not worried about that. With Aaron, I was like, babe, I'm so sorry. Like, I you know, I'll do something for you, and I'll rub your legs, and I'll do this, I'll do that. So, yeah, I mean, in that sense.
That's your give back? I'll rub your
that's
legs.
That's her shit. I mean, smoke a doobs, get a little Johnny Blazed, and then she puts her legs, and I get oil, and I just, like, massage her legs. Super stony leg massage. She loves it. And I love it, too. That's why the weed helps, because now it's not a chore. It's not a task. I actually like it.
It's an experience.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun. I put some good show on. I'm just, like, getting in there and rubbing her legs, and she's, you know.
And that is the get-out-of-jail-free card right there?
Pretty much. She understood. She wasn't in any way saying, oh, you need to come home. I mean, she got it entirely. I just said, look, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do, but I owe you. I'll make it up to you. So I'm just gonna rub.
And
just
I gonna rub
the shit
legs.
Out of her legs. Yeah, it's what she wants.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's taken 2 years for me to learn something new about you and the two mm-hmm. of you.
Well, I think we have a very compromising relationship. I think that's part of what makes it work. You know, she loves to be with her friends. That's her outlet, where mine is sort of golf and fishing. And she has sleepovers, like does whole weekends through two or three nights with her girlfriends. And I'm with the kids and she's in Malibu and they're in hotels or in a house or whatever. And they have like slumber parties. And I'm like, yeah, cool, go. You know, it's that's her outlet. And she knows what I love. I know what she loves, and we don't really hold each other back. We talk about
legs?
It on the new podcast, Unconsciously Coupled, with Aaron and Oliver Hudson.
Awful. It's bad and wrong on so many levels. First of all, the name.
It's good.
Terrible.
No way. It's a
no. You can nobody can even spell unconsciously.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, how do I look it up?
Just Oliver Hudson.
Okay, so what am I going to hear? I go to the first episode. Hey, guys, we're just talking about being unconsciously coupled, and we're so in love, and these are the things that we do. This is my love language.
You don't listen to Sibling Revelry, so we've already done 7 or 8 episodes, you know, that have aired. And the reason we're doing the podcast is because it got such a good response. And what I talked about in our first episode was my infidelity and the entire experience that I went through, that we went through. And it was super open and super honest. And Aaron was amazing. And, you know, and boom, everyone was like, holy shit, we want to hear more of that. And then we just kept talking, you know.
So this is like basically promoting the Manning cast for Monday Night Football. Like, hey,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you can watch us.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can listen to our podcast. But just one click away is an even better podcast mm-hmm. starring my wife and me.
Yeah.
Oliver Rutledge Hudson and Aaron Bartlett Hudson.
Aaron Ann Bartlett. Her middle name is Ann.
Aaron Ann Bartlett Hudson.
Yeah.
And just go ahead on over there. Why don't you stop what you're doing right now and go to Unconsciously Coupled?
Yeah. Why don't you like that name?
I don't like it. It's too convoluted. I get it. It's a play on, you know, hey, we're consciously uncoupling.
Right.
Who is that? Gwyneth yes. Paltrow that said that? And Chris, what's his name? Martin?
No. Yes.
Chris.
Yeah.
That's his name? The Coldplay yeah, yeah. guy?
So what do you,
and now you're,
what do you want to,
you're turning that on its head.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, it's an old joke. It's like doing Amber Heard.
No. It's not a joke. First of all, consciously uncoupling is like a thing now, even though Gwyneth was made fun of in the beginning. But the only point, it's called
being divorced.
The only That's valid point is. That you have. Honestly, is the spelling of it. Because you did make me think. I was like, are people not going to know how to spell unconsciously? So that
I would say the general population can't, because I don't know that
right.
If you held a gun to my head and you said, hey, you mm-hmm. get one letter wrong and you're not going to live to see the dinner. I don't know that I make dinner.
Mm-hmm. Well, then what the hell do you call it? We already did artwork for it.
Real talk.
No.
With real couples. No.
Or just like, how about...
Ollie and Aaron.
How about just the? It's very easy to spell.
The?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or cat. Well,
that'd
we'll
be good.
Call it cat.
Abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Abstract promotion.
How about cats and dogs?
Yeah. How about twisting the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus? Say men are from Venus, women are from mm-hmm. Mars. That's about as interesting to me as consciously, unconsciously coupled.
Or men are from Venus and women are from Vars.
I don't know. I mean, who am I to talk? We've got daddy issues, and now we don't even really talk about daddy issues anymore.
We do. They're always it's always sprinkled in. I'm always talking about the kids. I just did. You talked about guilt. being away from my kids. I talked about leaving my golf tournament to be with my kid. You talked about what it's going to be like when you and Michelle divorce and how that's going to work out with your kids.
You know better than that.
Come on.
You know better than that. Take it back. Take it back.
If it's not a daddy issues episode unless Michelle Beisner Buck gets all riled up. You know what I mean?
I know. Well, I saw I did a Zoom today with my therapist. So I've gone through, I've sat at this computer. Mm-hmm. I've been in this position. This is now the third time today.
Wow.
I had a Zoom call with my therapist, yeah, which was supposed to be handed off to Michelle. Mm-hmm. Because of all that she's going through, mm-hmm, with her father passing away and her mom moving here, and but she's sick, so she took that moment to get a little few extra, mm-hmm, wings. And then I did an appearance for Philadelphia Insurance Companies, mm-hmm, and I sat here and went on and on about myself, my favorite topic, for 45 minutes, fielding questions. And now here I am talking to you.
Yeah. Well,
can you please push your hair back behind your ears?
No.
I can't look at you like that anymore.
Just do it. Just love it.
No, I don't understand it. It's just weird.
Hey, man, what's going on, bro?
Now is probably when you look most like your dad.
Probably. Wait a minute. With this Philadelphia thing, is this like a paid situation you do to like go on Zoom and do your thing?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, it is. But so this was something that was scheduled. This is 2022. This was scheduled for 2020. Mm. And then it was like, hey, there's a pandemic. Can you please hold these dates open for next year? Hey, we can't do it still. Mm. Can you please hold these dates for next year? Yes. It was going to be at the Montage, mm-hmm, in Southern California. Oh. Is that in Orange County? Where is that?
Well, they have one. Yeah, they have a couple. But yeah, one near San Diego, and they I think have one in OC as well. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's where. And then the first one was supposed to be in Palm Beach at the Breakers. I was like, hell yeah, sign me, mm-hmm, up. You do the cocktail party, you get up, you talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. You field some questions. You do a little razzle dazzle, little song and dance, mm-hmm, little seltzer in your pants. You leave them wanting more. Yeah. You joke around. You do some impressions. You do like a little Fred Travellina kind of act. And the next thing you know, I'm out the door and I'm in Palm Beach,
yeah,
or I'm at Montage. Well, yet again, COVID rears its head. And we can't all be together. I said on the call today, I'm like, I don't understand this. We can go to an NHL arena, yeah, and be packed next to each, yeah, other. We can go to an NBA game, baseball game. We can go to church. We can go to wherever. But we can't go to the Montage. Like, I was actually looking forward to,
yeah,
this. As I'm sure they were, too. They're their top salespeople across the country, and there we were, all separated, like it's all April 2020.
Damn. I know. We got an email from the school, our school, saying the kids have to wear masks again inside. It's hell, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
We're back to that.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're like, although it hasn't been a large spike, there's still a significant rise in COVID cases. And I'm like, but it's not, I mean, you know, come on now. Let's keep going. We're good. Everything's gonna be okay now. You know.
Yeah, I don't sense, and maybe that's because I'm insulated here in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
I say this, and tomorrow we'll get that same email. But I don't sense some big push to go backward on the mask.
Yeah.
At this point, either you are vaccinated, like me, like you. You are boosted, mm-hmm, like me, like, mm-hmm, you. Or you're not. And there's no shortage of vaccination anymore. Mm-hmm. That's not even a question. So we're now at the point where you either want to be vaccinated or you don't.
Yeah.
And at some point, you just got to move on, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you do. And then take it as it comes, because who knows what's coming up next. You know, I mean, there could be some crazy deadly fucking strain that hits. Who knows? But right now, everything seems to be pretty good. But it hurt.
But by the time we're aware of that, it'll
too
be
late. I know.
It'll be
I
too
know.
Late.
I know.
We should have been wearing masks. We should have. Everybody should go. All kids should go to school in
hazmat suits.
Suits from Outbreak. Yeah. Go hazmat with school colors.
Yeah, yeah. With the with like a Letterman hazmat suit.
A Letterman hazmat suit. That's what we need to develop. A daddy issues school specific Letterman hazmat suit with matching masks.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They'll have those at some point, you know? They will. But it hurts to go backwards. You know, Rio this morning, I drove her to school, and she's like, you guys, like, you need a mask. And she's like, daddy, because I always mess with her, you know? I'm like, no, you really do. And she just wouldn't believe me, so I put it in her backpack. Then we get out, and we get to the school, and they're like, Rio, can you put your mask on? She looks at me like, you weren't lying to me? I'm like, I told you.
Right. If that's how we are now. We are the boys who cried wolf.
Yeah.
As parents.
Yes. Oh, entirely.
I did that today. Every time the boys are like, where's mommy? I'm like, mommy is gone for good. She moved out, and you're stuck with me. Oh, come on, dad. Maybe someday mommy will be gone for good and moved out, and now you are stuck with me. But until then, I'm going to play that joke and run it right into the ground, and you're going to know that I'm kidding and that people can, you know, try to push you a little bit and whatever. But, yeah, I'm just hoping the mommy doesn't leave and leave me all alone with two boys.
No, it's true. I've always done that with my kids, just that hyper sarcasm, you know. I think it hardens them now that I can't get anything past them. But that's so funny you say that, because it's like...
But they also don't believe a word you say.
Of course. But in the beginning, they might, you know? But then as time goes by, it's like you and saying, well, mommy's gone, and it's just me now, boys. They know, because they've been trained to understand that.
They don't even blink
no,
at
they're
that.
Like...
At this point, it means nothing, because it's, you know...
Right, they're like, dad, for real.
But it's funny when I say that in front of other people, when they're disappointed, when their shoulders sag, when I'm the one in carpool line at their little nursery school, and they're all excited, they recognize the car, and then they look inside the windshield and they see me and their shoulders sag, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
After all I've done for you, little bastards.
Yeah.
And now your shoulders are dropping because it's me and not mom. Then they get in the car. Where's mommy? And the door's still open and the teacher's standing there. I'm like, mommy is gone and she's told me to tell you she's never coming back. And they don't even blink. And the teacher's got to be like, this guy is
what an
asshole.
I know. I know. I get that too from Rio, because she loves her Kenny. Kenny's her nanny, and she's basically my third daughter, and she's been with us since she was 17, and now she's in her 30s, and she's amazing. And she loves Kenny. Kenny and her are like two peas in a pod. And I'll go pick up Rio, and the minute the door opens, it's like, where's Kenny? And I get angry, you know, even though I shouldn't.
Isn't that like South Park?
It
sounds like South Park.
That is it. It is.
Hey, who killed Kenny?
And I'm like, what about me? It's like, I'm your dad. Like, what about me? She goes, I know, but where's Kenny? I'm like, yeah, Ree. And I'm like, you know what? Forget it. Forget it.
It's me.
Yeah. And then I do the guilt.
The Robbie Benson.
I do the guilt thing. I'm like, whatever. If you don't love me, that's fine.
Strap in, kid.
Yeah, let's go.
It's going to be a long ride home.
Yeah, not saying a word. Not saying a word to you. I get sensitive.
Turn the music up real loud.
Yep. She doesn't understand my daddy issues. You know what I mean?
That cuts you right to the core.
Yeah. When she rejects me, it's no good. No good.
And then you launch into, look, my dad left when I was 8 years old, and then Kurt came into my life.
Yeah.
And
how many times have you like heard that story?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's like a scene from Airplane. Rio's like, I don't even want to make jokes about it, but it's like you can't stand hearing it one more time.
Oh, yeah.
You're just wanting to end
it. Get a hold of yourself.
Get a hold of yourself, Dad. We got
it. I know.
We've heard it.
So funny. We've
You're
done
overcompensating,
1,000 podcasts, and I, probably in 900 of them, I've told the story. You must be like, okay, here we go. Here comes the story.
Right. You're either pissing off my wife, or I'm pissing off my wife, or you're talking about your dad leaving you at 8. If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We
beg
you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And I really, for as many times as I've heard that God forbidden story, I'm not exactly sure of the age you were when that happened. 8?
Well, he left, the divorce when I was 4 or 5.
He forgot his pants and he came back in.
Forgot his pants.
Say that again.
He forgot his pants and he came back in.
Hey guys, I'm still gone. I'm still
right,
leaving.
I forgot my pants. He comes back. We're like, Dad? He's like, no, look, I'm still out of here.
I can't be without these
pants. I forgot my pants. He used to wear scrubs everywhere. That was his like thing. I don't know why.
And didn't he convince you he was a doctor?
I mean,
or
most likely, you know. No, he did tell me that he was a quarterback for the Rams.
Yes.
And he had a full Rams, like, or an entire uniform with shoulder pads, with thigh pads, with the whole thing. So, I mean, he looked like it. And he could throw a football, but I believed him. And then he was also the lead guitarist of Dire Straits. So.
That seems like an older reference. Like, how old were you when that was? 19. Well,
no,
you're younger than me. So that's like 1984, 85.
A little bit older than that. I mean, around that time. Money for Nothing, that album.
Chicks for Free.
That's when that came out. And we loved it. That song still reminds me of my dad. That whole album kind of does.
Yeah, it's good. When do the tears start falling?
No, the tears fall.
Dun, 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 dun. When the guitar hits?
Yeah, no. I like that. It's a double. It's two guitars. I remember when I found out that was two guitars, I was like mind blown. I was like, what? No, Richard Marx. I'm right here waiting for you. That song reminds me of like my dad and my childhood. That's more of the tearjerker, not Money for Nothing. Oceans apart, day after day, and you slowly.
You're the only kid. How old were you? You were like 10.
Yeah. I hear your voice.
You're the only kid who listened to those words and searched for the deeper meaning. You're like, oh, this applies to my dad. Where are you?
Well, he used to play that song.
Oh.
You know?
Just to rub it in?
Probably. That's a good song, isn't it?
All that music, for as much as it's kind of shitty, it's still, I don't know if it's just because of the age I was, that, yeah, that everybody makes fun of We Built This City. I hear it, I'm right back in high school.
It's a great song. I mean, it just is. And Richard Marx, great. Come on.
Great.
Come on. Yeah. Like Bruce.
And all that weird British stuff, like the Erasure.
Yeah.
I try to discover. I hear you calling. Give a little respect to me.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, I don't know. I like it. Why am I listening to this? Now I hear it. I'm like, hey, I'm in college.
Oh, God, I love that. I loved, like, Bruce Hornsby back in the day. Don McLean, like, after the Eagles.
Not Don McLean.
Don Knotts. My bad.
The ghost of Mr. Chicken.
Don Henley. Yeah, my bad. Don Henley.
Don McLean. That song, drive the American Pie.
I mixed it up.
I cannot stand that song.
Oh, you don't like it?
No.
Is it only because it was played so much?
It was played so much at this one bar when I was in India.
Yeah.
I was like, if I hear this one more time, I'm gonna go through this window.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It wasn't that song for me. It was like Sweet Caroline. Like that song in college, if I hear it again, I'm going to fucking kill everybody, even at frat parties.
At the end,
shit.
Where it was like, so good!
So good! So good! It's like, oh, so good! God. Oh, it drove me crazy when that song came on.
Yeah.
Super college-y
this
song.
This is a good topic.
It is, but like Boys of Summer, I loved. End of Innocence, I loved. Ugh. My girlfriend, Rebecca, who is my high school sort of sweetheart, and I still know her to this day, and she's amazing. She was a music head, like, and she made me mixtapes that I still have. I was cleaning out my garage. I still have like 10 of these mixtapes where she wrote, you know, decorated the covers and wrote all the songs with the hearts and the thing, and every song was like just the shit. Still to this day.
Oh, yeah.
And she's the one who turned me on to a lot of this music, you know?
Everybody has that one friend. I talked about that, the thing I sent you, which it's kind of sad that I know that I send you something, and my disclaimer on it is, I know you're not going to listen to this.
That's what you said.
If you did, you'd like it.
I did get that.
when I just this week, I am guest DJing Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Radio.
Right.
And I rambled at the first part of it for 10, 12, 15 minutes on my own and talked about how everybody has that friend that introduced them to music they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, I think stack the deck for you to really like it. Like my friend was Preston Clark, who was musical anyway and was, you know, in a band forever, band in high school, band in college, band outside of college, you know, wanted that and still has that as his career. But he had such a great ear and could play anything with a piano, with a bass guitar, with a regular, you know, guitar. And he kind of stacked the deck for stuff that I should be liking at that point in my mm-hmm. life. I think it was like Police mm-hmm. and Boston mm-hmm. and Led Zeppelin and all these other bands that I was aware of, but I didn't really appreciate. And then when I listened to it with him, then I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She put all kinds of stuff like, you know, she put Phil Collins or was it Genesis? Oh.
Phil Collins, No Jacket Required, right. That album.
It was... I'll remember. But then she did
Genesis Three Sides Live.
Put a Peter Gabriel song on there. You know, in your eyes, the light, the heat. Your eyes, I am complete. I mean,
I feel like I'm looking at Instagram.
And I hear these songs, and I immediately go back to her. I like miss her 150 years later. It's weird, and like Purple Rain First time I heard Purple Rain was on Hurt mixtape, and it's like one of my favorite songs still to this day.
And you still think of 100%. Her.
100%. If Purple Rain comes on, I will like take a picture of the screenshot, the whatever, and send it to her. Like, it's still a thing. I think we're...
So you cheat on your wife,
we might still be in love.
God, do you tell Aaron you do that?
Yeah. This is my high school girlfriend, dude. I'm 45 years old.
Just kidding. But, I know.
But I
I'm
do,
just
but in all honesty, like, there's a special place for her, you know? Like, I do see her and feelings are still there, but not, of course, like that. But it's a nostalgia. It was real. It wasn't like puppy love, you know, high school bullshit. It was real. We were in love, like, 100%.
I think there's something... with both of those things. I think the music is one. It proves that you can be mentally taken advantage of by plants that are put in. Like you see like the Manchurian mm-hmm. Candidate or something where they're feeding mm-hmm. something, and then it basically hypnotizing or brainwashing mm-hmm. to some degree.
Right.
And it takes you back immediately. You can almost smell the smells.
Yeah.
See where you are. Like being on the beach for me in spring training, listening to Ghost in the Machine while my dad's doing a spring training baseball game. And, it's just all of a sudden you're back there. And then the same thing for that person. It doesn't mean there's a comfort mm-hmm. in that person in that time in your life that you are so willing and wanting to kind of go back to.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that all the time. I will see a building in St. Louis, the same shit is still standing as it was back in the 70s. And I'll see a building on my way from downtown back out to the suburbs where I live, and I will think of that building that I saw when I was riding in the backseat of my dad's car after countless baseball games. Same weird 70s horrible design right by this big, for those in St. Louis, I'll know exactly what I'm talking about, this big A&E Eagle, cool neon, it's massive, Anheuser-Busch neon thing. And then to the right of it, which would be the north side of Highway 40, there's this building that's like from straight out of 1972. And I think all the time, I wish I could go back mm-hmm. to the first time I saw that building and be in my dad's car mm-hmm. and just experience that now.
I know. No, I have that too. With Kurt and his 76 Blazer that we still have. And I was just a kid. We had just getting to know each other, basically. And we were in Colorado, and that's where he had his Blazer. And he had an A-track of... Rubber Soul, I think it was. Is Michelle on Rubber Soul, or is that?
Don't ask me. I have no
anyway,
idea.
Anyway, I think it's Rubber Soul. I could be wrong. Anyway, and so I have just these memories of driving, hunting with him, or fly fishing, and that A-track was playing, and that album was always on. And now when I hear that, it's like I immediately am back to that spot. I mean, that's where music is just amazing when it comes to
senses. But do you ever wish that you could go back and
yeah.
go through that again?
Yeah.
I do. I'm like, I wish I could, or the feeling of driving back from college at Indiana and coming around the bend on the Illinois side and just seeing Busch Stadium lit up and downtown. It's like, fuck, I am
yeah.
home. Like,
yeah.
it was such a great feeling.
I know.
And the Cardinals were playing, and I could just pull literally right off the highway, pull right to the ballpark, and walk yeah. in and see my dad. It was
yeah.
like, God, I wish I could go back.
Oh, that's amazing.
And do
I
that.
Know. I know. Oh, God. It was so carefree, too, you know? I mean, it truly
was.
I
think if I did your mushroom thing,
yeah.
your or whatever it is, the what was our boy talking about down in...
ketamine.
Where you're like
yeah,
some
ketamine.
Administered
yeah, it's
thing
ketamine
where you're
therapy.
Going through
yeah.
memories.
Yeah.
They're asking you questions like, that's the stuff that would come flooding out of me, that feeling of being able to just come back from college. I'm kind of getting on to my own. But right back into the little nest where I grew up, of just pulling right off and going into the ballpark and knowing where my dad is, because he was the most findable human being when in St. Louis. If the ballpark was lit up, he was fucking sitting there doing the baseball game. And I could walk in, walk right past everybody, walk right in the booth, walk right down and give him a hug.
That's pretty great. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe, it's okay.
No,
it's okay, Joe.
It's a good thing. It doesn't make me sad. It makes me, that like gets me charged up.
It gets you charged.
You know what I mean?
Charged up. Oh, I remembered. Hold on my heart. Just to that feeling. We both know we've been here before. We both know what can happen. Just hold on my heart. Hold on my heart.
I can't take you seriously.
Hold on to my heart.
With your weird mouth singing and your stupid hair.
Throw me a lifeline.
You're butchering
all
the
words. Is that Genesis or is that Phil Collins?
Hold on my heart, I think, is Phil Collins.
Is it? Yeah.
Genesis had a different sound. I don't know, Margo, can you look up Hold On My Heart? Is that Phil Collins? Or I mean, I guess I could do it. I'm sitting at a
Hold On To My Heart.
Woo! Woo! Genesis Three Sides Live. It's Genesis. Genesis Three Sides Live. I wore that out over the years.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's Genesis, but I mean, Genesis was Phil Collins.
I know.
And now Phil Collins is doing shows seated.
Well, because he's like basically, you know, he's a zombie.
Confirmed.
I mean, he's like came out of the crypt to do another concert series. I think he had his like 85th divorce. And he's like, fuck, I got to get back on the road.
I did it again. Didn't he break up with some woman or a wife maybe via fax?
Probably.
He did.
Didn't you and I have a whole Phil Collins bit that we would do that was made us laugh? I don't forget what it was, but.
On this thing?
No,
on this podcast?
I don't think it was. I think it was just like in our personal lives.
I don't know. Margo, who did he divorce over fax? It was somebody famous.
Right. I think he literally has had 6 or 7 wives. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Have you ever seen that comedian who talks about Phil Collins and how talented of a musician he is?
Who is
with that look?
Yeah.
But I mean, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel.
Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel. She had The Way by Led Zeppelin.
Jill Tavelman, their 12-year union was reported to have ended when he sent her a fax announcing it was all over. She scooped up £17 million in her goodbye deal.
Jeez.
That was a $17 million fax that was sent
and
over.
And he's had like multiple wives, so he's had to pay out that like serious dough.
Oh yeah, he just had one.
Yeah.
Which is, I assume, the only reason why he's still doing like his 9th farewell tour.
Yeah, there's no world where he'd be still out there unless he needed the cash.
The funniest thing, I feel like we've done all this before on the podcast, but here's the problem with this. We've been doing this for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Our lives really haven't changed all that much over the past 2 years. So we're probably revisiting every topic and we don't remember. Like, we all have that friend, and I have one that I'm thinking of right now, and I would never say this
Harry.
Out loud. No. But almost within 2 weeks, will tell me the same story verbatim, like I've never heard it before. And I'm not the kind of guy that's like, hey, you just told me the story. I got it. I know how this ends. I know this one.
Yeah.
I just sit there and like for 42 minutes, I'm like, yeah, no way. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me? No
it's
way.
It's so weird.
Wow.
I have a friend that you know who I'll just say, Josh Algra is like that. Algra is like, you know, he'll tell me something that he just told me a day ago. And I'm like, dude, I know, I got it. And I repeat the story back to him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I told you. All the time. I wonder what that is.
I think that's a sign of somebody who tells that story to multiple people
right.
and can't remember
right.
who of their 15 people they've told that to.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one left over that didn't hear it yet, but actually you were the second person that heard
yeah.
it. I hope. Either that or
an early onset.
It's the long, slippery slope slide down to Nowhereville.
Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away.
In all, according to a Daily Telegraph tally, Collins's divorces have cost him $84 million, nearly a third of his estimated $280 million fortune.
Jeez. That's a lot of money.
When do you just stop and you go, you know what? I'm bad at this.
I know. Just don't get married.
Six or seven. Like Larry King was married 8 times or 7 times. Like, what is the point?
Well, I think it's a thing. When you're like pushing 7, 8 marriages, I think there's some psychology behind that, you know? It doesn't make any sense.
No, if you're 0 for, I say 0 for 2, you're
done.
You don't get to get married again.
Yeah, that should be a rule.
Nobody's getting you a gift. Nobody's, okay, go get married, you dumb asshole. You're not, it's not going to last.
Yeah.
You can't do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Late CNN host Larry King married 8 times to 7 different women. What's the more surprising thing, that it's 8 times or 7 women, meaning one of them twice?
Yeah. Crazy. He's a marriage addict.
I guess, but then it's just that comes with a really heavy price tag.
I mean, if you and Michelle don't make it, you're not getting married again.
I'm done. I mean, I'm 100% done. I never thought I would get married after being divorced ever. I thought, man, I'm not doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy in that I had 2 daughters and all that. I wasn't expecting that, but I found somebody who's like, I can't live without that person, and it's going to kill me if I see her with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. And now here we are, proud parents of 4-year-old twins.
Right, on the brink of divorce.
Yes, dodging life's bullets left and right.
Oh, Michelle, yeah. I know. Well, you did tell me in private that you didn't know if it was going to work.
You're such a dick. He's kidding, Michelle. He's kidding.
Well, I'm sad she's sick. God. She actually has the flu, huh? Like, it's bad.
She's coughing up, like...
Yeah, like...
things that need a Social Security.
Yeah.
It's like Stranger Things.
Yeah. Remember Strange Brew?
Great
movie.
Great movie. I don't know how you have references that, like, you're too young to know what Strange Brew is. The 7 years difference between you and me should eliminate some of these common.
I know, but I was watching a lot of weird movies when I was a kid. Like, I could watch horror movies when I was a kid and weird comedies. And I remember Strange Brew and Kentucky Fried Movie. Remember that?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost too old for me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was Kentucky Fried Movie when she goes, oh, yeah, baby, show me your nuts. And he's like, showed her that he was like a crazy, always made me laugh.
Oh, my God. There was some crap, but some of that crap is so good.
Oh, I know. I know. Got to go back and rewatch some of that, just even see if it has any if it sustains at all.
It's got to be. Like, so many of those comedies are those blends of comedy mm-hmm. slash... Not... Like, like, Young Doctors in Love. Did you ever see that?
No.
Did you ever see Porky's?
Yeah.
One, two, or
all
three?
Of them, for sure. Every time my kids are trying to find a movie, I'm like, you guys want to watch Porky's? Ever since they were little, and now they're older, and they're like, can we finally watch Porky's? I'm like, no, you can't watch Porky's.
No. Kim Cattrall, that was the launch of her career. I just saw her talking about it on Stern.
Really? Kim Cattrall was on Stern?
Yeah.
It was old.
Oh. It was maybe 5 years old.
Okay.
The clip was on their Instagram. But it's funny. You bring that up, and today the boys had school. They had lunch bunch, which means they stay till 2. They came back. I'm tired. Michelle's sick. Like, let's just put something on. Let's watch Willy Wonka for the 900th time. Mm-hmm. And they love it as much as I do.
They do.
Love it.
The old one.
The old one.
Yeah.
The new one's junk. Yeah. The old one, they love
it. They
do. Which I consider that good parenting. We fast forward through the boat scene where, like, Willy Wonka's face is melting.
Mm-hmm.
There's bugs and mm-hmm. like weird images on the wall that they're going through the Wonkatania. But I know every line of that movie.
Well, is that like one of your favorite movies?
It's probably one. It's either Jaws or Willy Wonka, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's so interesting that Willy Wonka is your favorite movie.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Gene Wilder fan.
I see the heart in it, huh?
Gene Wilder fan.
Huge. I read his book. Yeah. I told you that story that I was within a week of meeting him. And you talk about starstruck or unable to speak. Had I met him, I would have been a mess.
Yeah.
Not overtly, but I wouldn't have been able to really be me.
What was the Woody Allen movie he did? Everything You Want to Say About Sex? Was that the one that?
I think so. I don't know. I was never a Woody Allen fan.
Oh God! But he did a scene where a guy comes in because he's in love with a sheep, and Gene Wilder's the doctor.
Yeah. Yes.
Dude, it's fucking genius. The way he plays that scene is genius. It's so funny.
He has little roles over time that are. Little when he was starting out, what's the one with the Bonnie and Clyde?
Seen Bonnie and Clyde?
Hold on.
With Faye Dunaway and
what's the one with?
With Faye Dunaway and
the guy, the
handsome man,
the leading
my
man,
father,
still going.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty, yeah. Gene Wilder. I mean, obviously, all the comedies are mm-hmm. amazing that he did, but I'm, acting career. This is an exciting podcast moment.
I wonder why people have been listening. We're just totally rambling. I mean, it's just such an eavesdrop into what...
Bonnie and Clyde. He was in Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
He was in the back of the... He gets in the back of the car and he's nervous and he's between these two psychopaths and I just thought 1967 American biographical crime film directed by Arthur Penn starring Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway. He's got it. I think it's one of the first scenes he ever did in a major movie.
He's so funny.
And he's great. He's just, his timing is so good. In fact, I watched the movie today, Willy Wonka, and I went back on, somebody had already bought me Pure Imagination, which is the making of the movie, and I cannot find it, and I never read it, and so I reordered it on...
Oh, it's a book.
Amazon, yeah.
That would be a cool documentary if they had real footage of making a Willy Wonka.
Oh, my God. I would just eat that up.
I saw,
and then Jaws, the stuntman, Grossman. What's his
Teddy.
Name? God, I'm Teddy Grossman, who knew your mom.
Yeah, we've known that guy for a long ass time. Yeah,
and I know him a little bit through my friend Steve Horn, He's the guy in Jaws who's in the,
in the lagoon.
In the middle of the lagoon.
And his leg gets chomped.
Hey, boys, yeah. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And he falls over and gets eaten.
Yep. And his leg falls to the bottom.
Yes. His severed leg. Why didn't Jaws eat that?
I don't know. I didn't like it. But it was, Jaws was the movie that he directed right after he directed My Mother in Sugarland Express. So he,
Spielberg?
Yeah. So Spielberg directed my mom in her second movie ever, Sugarland Express. And during that movie, he was prepping with Dick Zanuck to go do Jaws. Right after.
Look at you, Mr. Hollywood. You can call Richard Zanuck Dick.
I call him Dickie, but I don't want to get too friendly on this podcast.
Right.
You know. But.
Yeah, no. It's probably fair. It's probably good you did.
Yeah. But Jaws was, that's fucking an all-time movie right there. It's so good.
And all the problems that happened there.
Oh, so
like
many.
Where they couldn't get the stupid mechanical shark to work,
yeah.
And so you don't see it till halfway through the movie, and that builds the anticipation of what does this thing actually look like.
Right. Well, that was the whole yellow barrel thing, was, well, how do we fucking show the sharks? And someone's like, I don't know, probably Spielberg's like, let's shoot them with barrels. So when they pop up, and then boom, that became like the tension in the movie was the barrels. It's
right.
Just smart.
Like, here he is.
Smart stuff.
He's come calling.
Yeah. See, I wanted to be on the ocean there. You know what I mean? Like, when I was watching Jaws, I wanted to be on the boat. Like, when they're drinking whiskey and telling stories and showing each other their bite marks, that scene, you know, the famous Jaws scene. God.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, the whole aesthetic, it's so good. The song.
That little tiny cramped table.
Yeah, a little cramped table and like the boat shifting and little tings and things just sort of shifting in the boat and you can hear it. And dude, you know, the creaking of the boat. So good.
Then it's like.
Boom. Yeah.
Because he's telling the story of the Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yep.
3,000 men went into the water. Whatever he says.
His eyes, black eyes, shark's eyes.
Eyes like doll's eyes.
Eyes like doll's eyes.
Eyes roll over and you hear the screeching, the screaming. 3,000 men went into the water.
One came so out like doll's eyes.
I'm the one. And now I'm going to get eaten by a shark. Oh, the irony, boys, the irony. Pass me the whiskey.
It's great. Robert Shaw, right?
Don't forget your rubbers. Hey, Chief.
Hey, Chief.
You bring your rubbers?
Yeah. And the scene where they're diving on that boat, when Dreyfus takes the sheriff and they dive on that boat at night. Do you remember that? And they find the tooth.
The head rolls out.
Dude. So good. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know. It's time to
gotta go.
Goodbye.
All right. I'm out of here. Bye.
Bye. What an ending. This is basically turned into a fucking slumber party.
It is a slumber party, totally.
Show me the way to go home.
I'm tired and I want to go to bed. But I had a little drink about an hour ago and it's getting right to my hair.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.